When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
We have on my Saturday show for the last several weeks been following Sam Panayanovich's attempt to win a national contest. He's in this national betting thing in Las Vegas where each week you pick five football games in the NFL and you have to go against the spread. And Sam started out hot. At one point, he was in the top like 5% of people in the country. He's not been doing, and then he sort of fell off. I don't know where he is now. Hey, Sam, how are you?
I'm good. I'm like the Hillary Clinton of the contest. I was ahead early and then I blew it late.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you doing well now? How did you do with the five games you picked this week?
I went 3-2. I finished by middle of the pack, which is fine. But no, I mean, that first couple of weeks, I was 74th in the country, and then I was 40th in the country for one stretch of time, and then just started to go in the wrong direction. The favorites were hitting at like 70%, and I play a lot of underdogs. I like to pick underdogs, and it was just a favorite every year again, and I didn't want to adjust. I kept getting stubborn. I thought, all right, well, this will be the week. This will be the week, and then the favorites would reign supreme again. But it was fun. I'll tell you one thing. It is super, super hard to pick five games in the NFL. I mean, if you're a betting person, I hope you're not betting five a week. Maybe you like one or two, but it's hard to find five. And then the worst part about it is you'd always narrow down to like seven that you liked, and you'd cross off two, and the two you crossed off would win. Yeah. Pretty much every week, that's all what happened.
How did you do with the Bears?
I actually had Bears games pretty nailed down, win or lose. I was all over the Bears, good or bad or indifferent. I mean, you know that, too. We talked all the time about, you know, when nobody wanted to take the Bears, we would take the Bears. And then when the Bears would win a game, you'd go against them the next week. It was pretty simple. They were an easy team to figure out, I thought, all year.
What did you think about their game against the Vikings?
Vikings are pretty good, man. We've been talking about that all season, too. I think they've got the best defense in the league, you know, not just in the division, in the conference. I think Minnesota's defense is super good. And, you know, they could have a chance with Carson Wentz being hurt for Philadelphia, their quarterback, and with the Eagles. He's off of the season with a torn ACL. The Vikings, you know, they could be at home all the way through that championship weekend. And if they win that, they'd be the first team ever to play a Super Bowl in their home stadium. It's a nice track for Minnesota. They have their work cut out for them, but they're going to have home field, and they're a mean defense. They could definitely get into that Super Bowl, no doubt about it.
Did you watch any of the bowl games yesterday?
How good was that Georgia game, Georgia-Oklahoma?
That is the most entertaining football game I've ever seen. Oh, my God.
Oh, that was the best game of the year, no doubt about it. You know, Oklahoma was up two touchdowns at the half, and people were saying, you know, they were going to blow them out, and Georgia rallied back and tied it in the final minutes, and then the double overtime, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and I thought that was the best game all season long, and it's only fitting that, you know, it was one of the semifinals for the college football playoff. Now, of course, it'll be Alabama and Georgia for the national championship, and I think you're going to have a lot of people thinking it's going to be Alabama again, but there's something about this Georgia team. They've been so resilient. They've been down and out, and they've been down in games, but they've always been able to rally back, and they've persevered through a lot. And I really do like an underdog. Their mascot is a bulldog, so I think it's pretty fitting that it's going to be Alabama, the cream of the crop in the last 10 years, against an SEC team. So it's two SEC teams. It'll be Alabama and Georgia.
How about that? No Wisconsin, no Penn State, no Big Ten team in that hunt. The Michigan
Big Ten went 7-1, though. Michigan, the only team in the Big Ten that lost in the bowl season.
Boy, did they look bad, too. That was a bad game for Michigan.
Yeah, but did.
And I don't know if you did not watch the Georgia-Oklahoma game that Sam's talking about, and I wasn't really going to watch it because I don't follow those teams. They're not Big Ten teams. They're not Midwest teams. I know they're big programs, whatever. But I thought, all right, we'll throw it on. And in the first quarter, every time the offense would get the ball for either team, they would have these fantastic 20, 30, 40-yard running plays, pass plays. They were just zooming down the field. It was so exciting. And then the other team would get it, and they'd do the same thing. And I thought, I know these are really good defenses. They must be. These are the best college programs. But doggone it, these offenses are fantastic. And it just kept going back like that all game long. It was a track meet. And they're like 500 yards for each team. It was just incredible how much fun that game was to watch. It goes to overtime, then double overtime. Here's the thing. In the Oklahoma game, Was it Oklahoma that to close out the first half did a squib kick that kind of went bad, and then Georgia kicked a 55-yard field goal or something?
Right, so that squib kick ended up costing them the game, because if they don't do that squib kick, Georgia's still trailing by three after that final touchdown in regulation. So that squib kick, now a lot of things went wrong. I think Oklahoma's play calling, too, you know, in that second half, they played not to win, right? You know, they played conservative. You know, they tried not to lose the game, but in all reality, that attack mode was what got them into a huge lead at the half. So, you know, I didn't like their play calling in the second half, but you're right, that squib kick right before half, that made Georgia, you know, get that field goal, and they had a little bit of momentum. They had some points on the board at the end. They needed something, you know, to go into the locker room, you know, with some confidence. And I think they did that. But there were 102 points in the game. I mean, 54-48 in a national semifinal. Who saw that coming? Not I.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, they do the squib kick, figuring, all right, if we kick it deep, they may return it. Let's not gamble that, although, okay, fine. So they just push the ball down, but now it's at midfield. They got like 14 seconds left. They go, what could go wrong? Well, here's what went wrong. They complete a 14-yard pass. It gets them to within very long field goal range. Then they bring out Goober McGoober, this kid with glasses and a 1970s mustache. And God bless him. He just teed off and cranked on that thing and kicked himself like a 55, 58-yard field goal. It was incredible.
Goober McGoober?
That's his name. His name's Goober McGoober. And he kicks that field goal, and then they're trotting off the field at halftime, and the Pam Oliver, whoever, says to the coach, what happened there? And he goes, well, we didn't execute well. He kind of brushed it aside like no big deal. But right away they said, you know, if this game is close, they're going to remember that play as having cost him 3 points at the end. And son of a gun if it didn't, huh?
So Goober McGoober's real name is Rodrigo Blankenship, and that field goal of 55 yards was the longest in the history of the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, good for him. I'm really happy for him. I like a kid that wears – I like field goal kickers, and I like field goal kickers that wear glasses, having been a glass-wearing field goal kicker myself once upon a time.
He looked like Horace Grant, didn't he?
A little bit. Now that you mention it. A little bit of that. What's the other sports high? So then when is the national championship football game for college played?
Well, they're going to get about a week to prepare. And I believe the championship game, as I scroll through my internet and wait for it to load, you know, they get a week off. So it's Monday, January 8th. So literally a week from yesterday. That'll be the national championship in Atlanta. You've got Alabama and Georgia. Alabama's favored by 4.5 points.
Oh, okay. I always feel when that game finally comes around that they've always waited too long, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you will not have remembered what Northwestern did by the time they finally finished playing the college series. It just stretches out way too long. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, there's only 39 bowl games this year.
Yeah, really. And so what are your prospects for the Bears? This is my last football question for you. What are your prospects for the Bears next year? How good do you think we're going to be? How optimistic can we be?
Well, I look at how the rookie class did this year. I look at Trubisky and Cohen and Shaheen and Jackson. Those are certainly building blocks for a foundation. I mean, and there's some pieces there. You know, Eddie Goldman, you know, Leonard Floyd, if he could stay healthy. You got some linemen that I like. You know, you need receivers. They got to go out and get receivers, whether they draft a guy in the top round or they go out and spend some money in free agency. They have some building blocks here for sure, but coaching is so important. I mean, it's the most important thing in football. You have to have a coaching staff that's rich, that knows what to do. You know, not rich like, you know, money rich. Like, you need to have a wealth of information. You need to know how to motivate guys. You have to prepare them the right way. And this coaching staff, you know, starting at the top with John Fox, they just were never prepared. And they were always getting penalties. And it was just ugly. It was ugly to watch, and it was just terrible. But I think, you know, this is still a premier job. And I think you'll see this search go from coast to coast. They're going to meet with DeFlippo from Philadelphia, their quarterbacks coach, who I really like. They're going to go have interviews with him. They've got a list of guys. And I still do think this is a premier job. job. I really do. So you got to go out there and get the right guy, though. I mean, you know, people talk about Jim Harbaugh. That's probably not going to happen. Just go and find a leader, though. Go find somebody who's been around a good coach, that's been around good coordinators, and knows what it takes to win football games. Because this may be, if you really think about it, since firing Mike Ditka, this might be the biggest hire for the Bears. It's super important because you have to get this thing back on track. When they fired Lovie Smith, the Bears and Packers were neck and neck, right? Every year it was Bears or Packers for the division. Ever since they fired Lovie, they haven't been to the playoffs, and they've been neck and neck with the bottom of the division, right? They've gone in the gutter, and that's where they are right now. So I don't know who it's going to be. I've heard Pete Carmichael with the Saints, who Ryan Pace knows pretty well. I've heard DeFlippo. Some people like David Schott of Stanford. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't have that type of intel, but whoever it is, they better knock it out of the park because this next hire is crucial for the next 10 years for this franchise.
Sam, if a different coach had been the coach of the Bears this year, would we have a significantly better record?
No, probably not. And it's interesting because, you know, Ryan Pace and John Fox have the same record, right? I mean, they've both been there 3 years. John Fox is 14-34, but so is Ryan Pace. So one guy gets fired yesterday, and Ryan Pace gets a 2-year extension.
So, but does that mean it's about the players as much as it is about the coaches?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and the Bears have been crippled by injuries the last couple of years, and now injuries happen in football. It's just part of the game. No, this coaching staff had, you know, an empty cupboard to work with, no doubt about it. But I do think that they got rid of a lot of garbage out of that locker room over the last 3 years. You know, the Martellus Bennetts, the Brandon Marshalls, the Jay Cutlers, you know, just like the whatever gunslinger mindset, like if we win, fine. If we lose, we don't care. Like, they really have changed the culture, and I think it's a good group of players, right? There's no bad apples really in that locker room. So rebuilding a football team doesn't happen overnight. I also don't think it trudges this slowly along. I mean, the Bears' record, you know, 6 wins in Fox's first year, then 3, and then 5. They didn't get better, but I think there are some things there that you like. I think there's some foundational pieces, but certainly you have to look at that GM, Ryan Pace, and wonder, you know, when is this team going to make a leap? Because in football, you know, some teams go from worst to first in the season.
Yep.
The Falcons did it. You know, the Broncos have done it. The Panthers did it when they went to the Super Bowl. It's easy to turn things around, but, I mean, the Bears have just had so many bad things go against them, and, you know, they're due for a winner. I mean, John, they haven't been in the playoffs since 2010.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought, wow, has it been that long? Hey, here's my last question for you, Sam. I got to go. I'm asking everybody for their word for 2018. Like, mine is truth. Steve's is listen. Violetta went with 3, but you get the idea. Let it be. What's your word for 2018?
It's my favorite internet provider. I use it every day, and it's now a mantra here in Chicago. Firefox.
Oh, man. If folks want to listen to your podcast, where do they go?
Yeah, go to iTunes, go to SoundCloud, go to TuneIn, whatever. Chicken Dinner. Or you could just say, hey, Amazon Echo, play Chicken Dinner Podcast, and they'll play it for you.
Thank you, Sam. I'll talk to you on Saturday.
You got it.
Sam Panionovich.